third place prize, I cut up some vegetables. I put them into a food processor and pushed the button, and then I stirred the pot once or twice. So I think I get a little honorable mention there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just for you.
No, see, actually, this scares me because when I was a kid, this was an article of discipline in my family. My mother would bang it on the table, and all the kids would snap to attention wherever we were. So I think that would ruin my preaching today. So I got to put that down for a minute. It's Thanksgiving, and this is just something I've observed in my life, is that a lot of times when Thanksgiving comes around, a lot of the preaching around the subject, I don't know if it's intended to make us guilty, but it often has the effect of making us feel guilty that we're not sufficiently thankful. And I think the same can be said about preaching on a lot of other subjects. Like, you can be made to feel guilty because you don't pray enough. You don't give enough, you don't serve enough, you don't have enough faith, or you don't love God enough. And here's what I've kind of learned in my life, is that if you learn how prayer works, you're more likely to pray. And if you learn how faith works, you're more likely to trust God. And if you learn how God's economy works, you're more likely to give. And if you experience God's love personally, it's almost impossible not to love God in return. And so I see the same thing is true with Thanksgiving. If you understand how Thanksgiving works, it makes it easier to give thanks. Go to the next slide here. This is Psalm 100. By the way, if you're sitting here, there's handouts in the seat pockets in front of you. There is no oxygen mask that drops down, but there is something in the seat pocket in front of you. And I'd just like to read Psalm 100 to you, because Psalm 100 is part of a group of psalms that are referred to as Thanksgiving psalms. It says this: "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Lord, this is your word. These are your people. These are the ears that you've given us, the hearts you've given us, the minds you've given us. I ask that you would open our eyes, soften our hearts. Help us to learn. Help us to learn the way Thanksgiving works, that we could be a more thankful and grateful people. And we ask that in the name of your Son. As I said, that this is a psalm. Now, in case you don't know what a psalm simply means a song. Psalms contained spiritual truths, and they were meant to be sung. You know what's interesting about singing? Singing, I believe, opens up a different, almost a pathway to your soul for the words and the truths that are in these psalms to penetrate your soul. They're kind of written like poetry. And if you ever want to understand a psalm, you have to understand it in terms of how it's written. It's written as a poem. It's usually got a poetic structure and everything else. And so we're going to just look at this psalm this morning, and we're going to study it to help us to understand how Thanksgiving works. And the first way that Thanksgiving works is that giving thanks is a reality check, for your soul. There's a show I watch on TV every once in a while. It's about homesteaders in Alaska. Anybody ever see Alaska, the last frontier? Or what, I think that's what it's called. And I find their Thanksgiving is very sincere, but it's also very secular. And they all get together as a family, and they sit down and eat, just like all of us do. We all get together, and we eat as a family. And then they thank each other for the help that they received throughout the year, and they have neighbors come over and extended family, and they give them thanks. And then they also, you ever notice they thank the animals? They killed the animal and ate the animal, and they thank the animal. And I think, okay, that's fine if that's what they want to do. But I also notice that there never seems to be any thanking of God, like he's left out. Now, I don't produce the show, I don't edit the show, I don't film the show, I don't know what these people are really like. You know, reality TV ain't reality. You know that, right? Okay, just thought I'd point this out to some of you. But I don't know why they don't include God in the Thanksgiving, but they don't. And the only thing that I can think of is that these people, as homesteaders, work so hard to provide for themselves, and one of their highest values is self-sufficiency. So perhaps because of that, they just don't see God's hand in their provision. And I wonder if we're not like that to some extent too. You're not a hardworking homesteader, but you do work hard. And a lot of times we like to think that I'm a self-made man or a self-made woman, and you think that it's all the result of your own work, because a lot of times that's all you can see. I worked hard, I achieved stuff, I got stuff. What's God got to do with any of this? Look at this psalm. It says this: know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I highlighted the word know. You can circle it on your outline if you want. You know the word know? It's actually the Hebrew word yada. I didn't know this until I looked it up, and I was thinking about how people go yada, yada, yada. But it has like about 15 different meanings around this idea of knowing. And the most prominent or common ones, it means to acknowledge or recognize something as true. And so what the psalmist is saying, he wants us to recognize or acknowledge God's central role in our lives. And there are three truths that are contained in this verse, and I think they all can be something you're thankful for. The first one I highlighted is, he made us. I don't know about you, when I was a kid, I was in catechism, all right? I don't remember a lot of my early days of catechism, but I remember in the church I went to, the first question they asked was, who made you? Does anybody remember the answer? God made me. You know, and that was the question, and I thought, that's a fundamental truth. God made me. And I once heard an inner city pastor add to this, and God doesn't make any junk. I love that idea. I love that idea because I accepted this simple truth that God made me. But as I get older, I'm more appreciative of what that really means. You know what the Bible says? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I like this phrase here. I highlighted it. In his own image. What that means is God made you a reflection of himself. I often like to think of it as the idea of as I reflect his glory. That's what I was created for. So when God made you, he created you as a reflection of himself. And then you go on to the next truth. I put down his people. In other words, God considers us to be his very own. Kind of like a father or a king who is enriched by a large family. So God values you and God values me. And then circle one more, the sheep of his pasture. And this is a poetic phrase. It's like a shepherd's care for his sheep, so God cares for you. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't always like the idea of thinking of myself as a sheep, because sheep, they're not real smart. And you know, when the sheep get away from the shepherd, they're in a whole lot of trouble. They're kind of dependent. They're not real smart. They're slow. They've got no defenses. All right, the wolf comes, and if there's no shepherd around, they're in a whole heap of trouble. They are nothing but lamb chops. And what I'm thinking is, why couldn't God think of me like a lion? You know, an apex predator, you know, a shark. All right. When I was in sales, I always like to think of myself as a shark. I like a shark, a bear, or even a hawk. I like this idea because this all it all gives me the idea of strength and self-sufficiency, and I'm providing for myself, and nobody messes with me. Can I get anybody like that? Am I the only one that would rather God say, you know, all those things? But God says no. He says, you're like my sheep. You know what the truth is? The longer I live on this life, the more I realize that I'm probably a sheep. I can't always take care of myself. I do dumb stuff. Thank you, Brian. But I do dumb stuff. I make mistakes. I wander away. You know, I don't know about you. I don't always try real hard. And I'm like, okay, maybe you're thinking I went to the wrong church today. All right? Sometimes it's the truth. I'm as human as anybody else are. And you know you wander away. All right? Sometimes you need somebody looking out for you. Can I get an amen from that? Right? Because, and so the Bible has a lot to say. And so what I'm just trying to tell you is this whole idea of being a sheep is a reality check. Because I can't always take care of myself. I can't always protect myself. I can't always get what I need. I need God in my life. And the Bible has a lot to say about this sheep thing. It's this wandering away and this lost thing. I was a lost sheep. All right, and the thing is that the lost sheep needs to be found. The wandering sheep needs to be corralled back. The hungry sheep needs to be fed and taken care of. The wounded sheep needs to be healed. And so there's this idea that we're his sheep. We're his sheep and we wander. And you know what? Because we wander, we have a lot of regrets in our life. But I want to tell you something about our great shepherd who leads us and takes care of us. He can help you to deal with this idea of the if-onlys in your life. If only I'd gotten that raise or that promotion or that job. If only I had made that investment. If only I'd bought Microsoft in the 80s. You know what I mean? If only I had moved. Anybody ever had an opportunity to move and you didn't move and you regret, oh, I should have moved. Or anybody ever moved and says, oh, I wish I had stayed where I was. We've had a couple moves in our life. And sometimes we think fondly back to Vestal, New York. We live just outside of Binghamton. And I really enjoyed living there, but we moved, all right? So if only I hadn't moved, or if only I had pursued that relationship, or if only I hadn't pursued that relationship, or if only I had been accepted by that university or pursued that vocation, if only I had better health, if only I had better looks, if only I had better skills, if only I had was younger. And have you ever considered something? God is a good shepherd who leads us, who knows where we're supposed to go. Have you ever considered that perhaps God was protecting you from getting what you wanted or thought that you wanted because it wasn't good for you? Have you ever considered that he had something better for you? Have you ever considered that the life that you have right now is that something better? You see, I believe that part of giving thanks is a reality check for us. It's something that we can do. The shepherd sees the dangers that the sheep can't see. He leads the sheep away from them. And God sees the unseen things ahead for you in the same way. And as a Christ follower, we may take these things for granted, but they're important truths, and they're a reason to be thankful. And I believe that's one of the reasons why Thanksgiving is a good thing. Giving thanks is a reality check that causes us to acknowledge things that we should be thankful for. Let me give you another one here. Giving thanks keeps you spiritually safe. I'm going to tell you a story. Carol and I went to Atlantic City a couple years ago. I'm waiting for the reaction. It was my niece's wedding, and I was performing the wedding, and we went to Atlantic City. And while we were there, we needed something from the local drugstore, so we asked the bellhop at the front, where's the local drugstore? And they said there's a CVS about 2 blocks away from the hotel, and so 2 blocks, we just started walking to the CVS. And so about halfway there, a police officer pulls his car over, rolls down the window, and kind of starts yelling at us, where do you think you're going? And I said, well, we're going to the CVS. It's right over there. And he says to me, you know, it's not safe around here. He says, you go to the CVS, get whatever it is you need, and you get back to wherever you're coming from because you don't want to be in this neighborhood. And I thought, we had no idea that we were in that kind of danger. Let me tell you something, that a lack of thanksgiving, an ungrateful heart, is a spiritually dangerous place, and you might not even be aware of it. Let me give you a couple Bible stories here this morning. So here the Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're having a great time. It's a beautiful place. All right? But something's going on there. God had told them, you can eat from any tree in the garden except for one. Except for one. Now, what did they do? Instead of being thankful and grateful for all the other stuff they could have, all the stuff they did have in the garden, they wanted the one thing that they couldn't have. God said, don't do that. Don't do that one. And they became fixated on it. You see, it's a very dangerous place because you know the rest of the story. They went after the one fruit they weren't supposed to have. They went after, instead of enjoying and being thankful for all they could have. Remember the Ten Commandments? We get these Ten Commandments, right? The first four have to do with our relationship with God. And then there's a bunch that go like this. Don't steal, don't murder, don't give false testimony, don't commit adultery. And I think we'd all agree those are important things. Don't do those things. But then you get to the climax of the Ten Commandments, and we're told not to covet. You know what coveting is? It's wanting things that you don't have. It's wanting things that other people have. And you think, how did those things get into the list with the don't kill and the don't steal? And you know what? How did they get in there? Well, Francis Schaeffer tells us that coveting is the heart condition that causes us to break all the other commandments. And coveting is what happens in hearts of people who are not satisfied or thankful with what they have. I'll give you one more. The opening chapter of the book of Romans, it's in the New Testament. It was a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to a small church in ancient Rome. And he kind of describes the downward spiral of mankind. And it describes this progression from darkened hearts to corrupted desires to depraved minds and ultimately to deserving God's judgment. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody wants to end up experiencing any of those things. And you might wonder, okay, I don't either, all right? But how does it start? Well, it's interesting. I have verse 21. It's the beginning of that downward spiral. And it says this, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. You see, ungratefulness, the absence of thanksgiving, is the beginning of a spiritual journey that leads to a dangerous place. And we avoid going there by heading in the opposite direction. Now, let's go back to our psalm. It says, come before his presence with singing, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I'm going to tell you about this psalm. It was a psalm of a psalm that described a spiritual journey to the safest place on the planet. It was to the temple in ancient Jerusalem, and it was the very presence of God, because under their religious system, God dwelled in the temple. And the temple was located in a fortified city with these big imposing walls and gates. And so Jewish pilgrims would sing and shout praises on their way to the temple. And that's what the psalm is all about. Now, the temple no longer exists, all right? But we have access to God's presence through Christ's atoning work on the cross. So Christ followers can enter God's presence anytime. And we have something in common with these ancient Jewish worshipers. We enter God's presence through praise and thanksgiving. You see, the presence of God is where you want to end up, and you end up there by being thankful. So I can either be way over here at the bottom of that downward spiral facing judgment, or I can be over there in God's presence. And let me talk about this idea of thanksgiving, because I think there are a lot of places you don't want to go. Nobody here wants to be buried in debt. Nobody wants to go to jail. Yeah, thank you. I got at least one. You don't want to be buried in debt. You don't want to end up in jail. All right? In the richest nation in the world, how do we end up in those places? All right? Well, we want stuff that we don't want. We don't have the money for it, so we steal it. We end up in jail. All right? We want stuff that we can't afford, and we buy it anyway with these nasty little credit cards. And it's easy to get over your head. You know what? If you're thankful for what you have, you're less likely to go pursuing the things that you can't afford. You see, nobody in their life wants to be estranged from their family. So rather than focusing on their faults, and that's real easy to do, isn't it? Focus on other people's faults. Why don't you be thankful for them? And look for a reason to thank God for your brothers and your sisters and your parents and your children. Nobody wants to have a miserable marriage. Nobody wants to end up in divorce. So make up your mind to look for things in your spouse that you can thank God for. And there's got to be something there, because there's a reason you got started. So look for those things that you can be thankful for, and learn how to overlook or address the things that you're not thankful for. Can I tell you, nobody in this world is perfect. You're not perfect. Your spouse isn't perfect. So if you're going to enjoy the rich and satisfying life that God wants you to have, you got to overlook a whole lot of stuff. You have to address things you can't overlook. And you got to be thankful and focus on the good things they have to offer. Nobody in their right mind wants to be unhappy on the job. You know? So focus your attention on things and people to be thankful for. You know, if you have a job, be thankful for your job. Focus your attention on the fact that, you know, God has a purpose for you wherever you are and whatever you are doing. All right? Perhaps your purpose is to be salt and light in a spiritually dark and tasteless place. I have been in situations where there were only a couple Christians in the whole office, and God had me there for a purpose, and I was certain of it. But I believe that no matter who you are, if you're there, God has you there for a purpose. Perhaps your purpose right now in a job that you don't like, and don't raise your hand if you don't like your job, maybe you're just developing skills and building a resume. Maybe that's what the purpose is right now. You're developing skills and you're expanding your resume for some future opportunity that God has for you. If you have the wrong attitude towards it, number one, you're going to experience the misery, and I don't know anybody who wants to experience the misery. And you might be missing out on the opportunities that God has placed there for you. Perhaps your purpose is to lead a coworker to Christ. And maybe if you do that, it's kind of like, okay, you can go on to the next one, just saying, all right? But, you know, you can thank God that regardless of what you're doing on the job right now, God has a purpose in it for you. And let me give you one more this morning. Whoa, I'm looking at that time. I'm thinking this could be good this morning for everybody. Thanks, being thankful enables your spiritual progress. Like I was saying, that the absence of thanksgiving leads to a dangerous spiritual place. The giving of thanks leads to this delightful and safe spiritual place. And I believe the quality of your thanksgiving indicates your progress. Look at the psalm again. Verses 2 and 4, it says, come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. I want you to look at the geography of this psalm. Circle the word his courts and his gates. These describe the physical gates and the physical courts that surrounded the temple. Remember, we said the temple was where God dwelled. In fact, he dwelled inside the Holy of Holies, and I'll get there in a minute. And so the psalmist is describing this pilgrimage, and they're traveling a long distance to worship God, and they're singing and they're shouting praises along the way. And you could tell how close they were to the destination by the sounds of the worshipers. The closer they got to God's presence, the louder and more joyful they became. And notice this, that they would enter the city gates, they would proceed to the courts. And now here's what the courts are. So we have the walled city with the gates, so they would enter the gates. Then there were the courts around the temple. And there was an outer court where the Gentiles were allowed to go. I think almost everybody in this room is a Gentile, non-Jewish person, all right? So the outer courts were where the Gentiles could go. And then there were inner courts. And the inner courts were where the Jews could go. And then there was a court of the priests. All right, the court of the priest was around the temple, the first level of the temple, and then you would go inside, and then there was the sanctuary, all right, where only certain priests could go from one particular family, and then in the very center was the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go there once a year, and it was in the Holy of Holies above something called the Ark of the Covenant that God's presence dwelled. Now, I want you to see, so there's this progression from outside the city to inside to the city to the courts. And along the way, there's different expressions. We see there's joyfulness, there's praises, there's singing. All of this is going on as they come, as they go through the gates. But you know where it all starts? It starts at the gates outside the city. Now, how do you get into the gates? With thanksgiving. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you like the joyful? How many of you like the gladness? How many of you like the praising? How many like to have a good time? All right? How many of you struggle a little bit because you often hear the pastor talk about the peace and the joy and the confidence and everything we're supposed to have in Christ, and then you think to yourself, I don't feel any of that. I'm not experiencing any of that stuff. Like, what's wrong with this picture? And you might be thinking, well, obviously Christianity can't be true because I'm not experiencing these things that the pastor tells me I'm supposed to experience. I'm going to tell you that there's a progression that takes place in your life. The closer you get to God, the more joyful you're going to be, the more praise there's going to be. There's going to be more gladness in your hearts. But you know what you're doing? You're standing outside the gates. How do you get through the gates? With thanksgiving. See, thanksgiving is a step you have to take in order to get toward or into these other spiritual conditions. You see, the praising and the joyfulness follows the thanksgiving. And so that's what we're talking about here. This is the way thanksgiving works. This is the way thanksgiving works. Go to the next slide here this morning. All right, you have to be intentional about thanksgiving. You know, How many of you don't always feel grateful? You're all a bunch of liars. All right? You don't feel grateful. You don't feel thanksgiving. You don't feel like giving thanks. You don't feel satisfied. And let me tell you something. Thanksgiving has nothing to do with the way you feel. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, God calls us to do a lot of things we don't feel like doing. Anybody feel like loving your enemies? Anybody feel like praying for people that persecute you? All right? Anybody feel like doing those things? God doesn't force you to have a feeling. But and by the way, love is not a feeling. Love is an action. It's something you do. And so, in some ways, is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is something you do. I do a lot of things I don't want to do even though I don't feel like it. But when I do them in faith and obedience, you know what? They often change the way I'm feeling. You don't have to feel your way into an action, but I'm going to tell you something. You can act your way into a feeling. And what I have found in life is when I do the things that God wants me to do, even though when I don't feel like it, I feel better afterwards. More importantly, it changes me. This is from a discipleship process that I'm working on. I've rolled out the 101 class. I'm about to roll out the 201 class. But I found this and I thought I'd share it today. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The reason we often find it hard to give thanks is because we don't feel like it. And I'm going to tell you why you don't feel like it. Because you take so much for granted in your life. So here's the thing. Oh, the Bible says every good action and every perfect gift is from God. So what I want to do here to close the message this morning is I want to kind of help you get started. I want to give you some things to be thankful to God for. And I got a list of them here. And you see, that's the thing. Remember I started out by saying I don't want to use guilt, all right? I want to give you reasons, and I want to tell you why. And now I want to tell you how. How to be thankful. Be thankful for things that you take for granted. And I think they're only on the slide, so I'm going to have to read them with you. If you survived your birth, thank God. If my wife often tells the kids 13 hours of labor, all right? Thank God. You can thank your mother too. If you were born in a free country, thank God. If you were born to parents who loved you and provided for you, thank God. If someone changed your diapers, and let me tell you, you all had your diapers changed by somebody. Thank God. If someone woke up with you in the middle of the night to feed you and hold you, thank God. By the way, that was probably your mother. I'm just saying. Okay? Just saying. It might have been your dad, all right, but it was probably your mom. If someone cared for you when you were sick, thank God. If someone read to you and played with you, thank God. If someone taught you how to ride a bike or throw a baseball, thank God. If you ever survived a serious accident or illness, thank God. If you avoided a serious accident or illness, thank God. If you've ever survived an earthquake, hurricane, or other severe weather event, thank God. If you've never had any of those things, thank God. If you've never had an addiction, thank God. If you've overcome an addiction, thank God. Thank God for all the times He protected you when you weren't aware of the danger. If you ever needed an ambulance, thank God. I've needed one a couple times. If you've ever been rescued by the police, the fire department, or the rescue squad, thank God. If you enjoy three meals a day, thank God. If you can't remember the last time you went to bed hungry, thank God. If you don't have any food allergies, thank God. Can I hear an amen? If you've never woken up in a war zone, thank God. If you've never had to run for your life or hide because of danger, thank God. If you have safe running water in your home, thank God. If you can take a hot shower whenever you want it, thank God. If you have a safe place to sleep at night, thank God. If you can heat your home in the winter and cool it in the summer, thank God. If people regularly come to your house and take away the trash, thank God. I've got more. If you received an education, thank God, and your teachers. If you've ever had a great boss, thank God. If you've ever had someone unexpectedly meet a need, thank God. And if you've ever had someone tell you they love you, thank God. And here's the last one on this list, at least. If you enjoy all of your five senses, thank God. I've got a video here of something that we take for granted. I was told to give everybody a warning. It's at least two tissues worth. Go ahead, play it. Make sure the sound is on.
What does it mean to see? Watch what happens when Jonathan Jones puts on these special high-tech glasses. Jonathan is extremely colorblind and until this moment had never been able to imagine just how vivid even a classroom could be. His school principal, Scott Hansen, is colorblind too. They are his glasses, and you hear how excited he is to share this newly discovered world. A world most of us, of course, take for granted. So when we see Jonathan with his smiles and his tears, perhaps he reminds us that the world is indeed beautiful.
Why don't you keep those for a little while?
Just wait till he gets outside. Harry Smith, NBC News.
You know, my message this morning isn't intended to make anybody feel guilty. It's just to recognize how many things in our life we take for granted. And there are so many things that we can thank God for. If my praise team can collect themselves. They told me to warn them before I did this morning. I have one more this morning. We take so much for granted. Be intentional. I think that's the key to all of this. Being intentional. Making the decision, you know what? Instead of being a whiner, I'm gonna be intentional. Maybe that's a pop-up on your phone. You know, by the time I'm done with you, your phone's going to pop up for everything. Maybe a couple times a day you should have an alarm set up that pops up and says, be thankful, especially if you're a complainer. You know, if you're a melancholy person, somebody that, like, tends to be more of a complainer, all right? You know, you just need work. You just need work. You need to develop some new habits, all right? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny, all right? Maybe you just need some new habits and create some of these. If you need these, by the way, just tell me. I'll link you to the website. It was a preaching website. I pulled a lot of this list off of. And maybe you just need a reminder. So, yeah, I can thank God for that. I can thank God for that. But let me give one more thing to be thankful for. If you know you're going to heaven, thank God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I circled up there, whoever believes. You know, this is the good news of the gospel. This is all that God requires. Because none of us is good enough to deserve heaven or earn heaven. And so God offers it to us as a gift. And we receive that gift by believing in his Son. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He took the punishment that you and I deserved when he was nailed to that Roman cross. He sacrificed himself to save you. As I like to say in this church, Jesus loved you so much that he'd rather die on a cross than spend eternity without you. But there's one thing God requires in order to possess this gift that he has for us. We got to receive it. We got to believe. We have to believe and we have to receive this gift from us. All right? Circle he gave. You see, God offers forgiveness. God offers pardon. He offers a second chance and a divine do-over in life. To whosoever's, whoever believes in him. And so we receive those things when we receive his son. He offers eternal life. I like to say he offers a rich and satisfying life, because that's what Jesus said. I have come that you might have life, a rich and satisfying life, an overflowing life. That's what he came to give us, and you receive it. So maybe you're here today, and maybe you've never received this gift. You're one of those lost sheep. Those lost sheep. You're not a part of the fold. Jesus says, "I came to save you. I came to seek and to save that which is lost." And so you're here and you're saying, "I'm lost. I'm outside." God says, "Just believe in my son. Receive my son." You become an instant insider. You know, one of the differences between Christianity and a lot of other religions is other religions, you got to earn your way to finally, maybe if you're good enough and you do everything right at the end, you just might be saved. You might get heaven. With Christianity, it's the other way around. You become a Christian, and from day one, you're fully saved. You're fully saved. Now, that doesn't mean you're fully changed. That doesn't mean you're enjoying the rich and satisfying life. It's just that means that if you were to die right now, it's instant heaven. If you're a Christ follower, then you can know that you're going to heaven. But maybe you're a lost sheep and you want to know that. Or maybe you're a wandering sheep. A lot of people are wandering sheep. You know, you might have been raised in a good church, or maybe you had Christian parents, and then you wandered off and you wonder if you want to come home. God gave whoever believes. That's the deal. And so how do you do this? I'll give you one more how-to this morning. Simple little prayer. It's as simple as I can make it. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. That's it. Jesus, forgive me for my sins. He went to that cross. He paid the penalty for them when he died and suffered. All that was owed by you for your sin was paid by Jesus when he hung on the cross. And the second part of the prayer is this one. Would you come into my life and show me the way to live? I want to follow you. Two things. Forgive me. Lord, come into my life and help me to follow you. Let me follow you. That's it. You're a Christian. You're a Christ follower. And then you just start following one step at a time for the rest of your life. Would you sing? Stand to your feet. We're going to sing this as a closing song this morning.